purpose of God, it brings heaven in your life. Whenever you resist, whenever you surrender to evil or to sin, whatever is not the will of God, it brings hell into your life. It brings torment into your life. God said, I know the plans that I have towards you, plans of good and not evil, plans to prosper you. You know, this is what God's heart is to, his will is a good will. Yeah. It's not, you know, some people, you know, they say, well, whatever happens must just be the will of God. No. Everything that happens is not the will of God. All the bad stuff that happens is not the will of God. The Bible said it's the will of God that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. But yet we don't see everybody being saved. You know, and so just because something's the will of God doesn't mean it's going to happen. Unless we as God's people cause it to happen by faith. See, the will of God has the power of God in it to bring it to pass in your life if you believe. The will of God is the word of God. Whatever God's word says is the will of God. And if we know the will of God, I've said this a lot of times, that when you know the will of God, 90% of your battle is won. The other 10% is just that faith stuff and things like that that you got to put into place. But once you know the will of God as a believer, you should be able to have a sense of victory. I mean, in my life, many times when I'd be in a situation, I didn't know what to do. And I start praying, when I would hear from God, when I would hear His will, when I'd hear a word from God, all at once faith would rise up in my heart because I knew that that will, that word, had power in it to bring it to pass in my life. And it will happen. That's the reason things happen like that. But when people think about the will of God, they'll say, well, I prayed to get healed, but it must have not been. I said, Lord, if it's your will, heal me. And I don't know anybody ever got healed that way. I don't know anybody ever said, if it's your will, heal me, Lord, because he reveals his will is to heal us. But sometimes there's things that happen. We don't know why somebody don't get healed. It's not always just one reason or another reason. There's F.F. Bosworth wrote a book called There Was 39 Reasons Why You Might Not Be Healed. So it's not just like a lack of faith or because you sinned or something like that. There's a lot of different things sometimes that may hinder you receiving the will of God done in our life. And so, but when I've heard people pray a lot of times, that's what they say. They'll say, well, Lord, your will be done. And it's like that we don't have to do anything. We just say, Lord, your will be done. Whatever it is, whatever happens in my life, I'm just going to accept it. But you can't do that. Because you see, the Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It didn't say for as many as are driven with the wind or carried by circumstances, just letting things happen in our life. It said for as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God reveals the will of God. You know, when Jesus was praying in the garden, He said, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And you know what? When he prayed that way, that will strengthened Jesus to go to the cross. He submitted himself to the will of God, and sometimes it is the will of God for you to suffer. Sometimes when you go through something, you know, there's a purpose behind it. You know, there in some suffering, there's purpose behind it. Some things suffering is because of our own ignorance. Yes. You know, sometimes we suffer because of what other people do. And there's a lot of things. But sometimes there's suffering you go through as a child of God doing the will of God. But when you do the will of God and you suffer for it, you don't stay in that state long. Eventually, you'll come out and you'll be more blessed than you was before. When you do the will of God. Did you know that when he got anointed by Samuel to be king, the Spirit of God came on David. And I believe David became more aware of the will of God after that. I believe he was more sensitive, because when you get full of the Holy Ghost, you start being more aware of God's presence. You start being more aware of the will of God. And I believe that David, whenever he knew the will of God, when the lion and the bear came out there, he knew that lion and bear wasn't going to kill him because he hadn't been made king yet. And he killed the lion and the bear. Then he goes into the town, and there's Goliath up there, and he's mocking Israel. And David looked at him, and David knew in his heart that this man, that Goliath, that it was the will of God for him to die. He knew that it wasn't the will of God for them to be mocked and all these things, how for them to be scared and hiding and everything. David knew the will of God. But you know what happened when he said he knew the will of God, but then he put faith to it. He said, what will happen to the man that slays this giant? You know, what's the king going to do for him? And he told him he'd give him his daughter and enrich him and do all these different things. But David knew in his heart what the will of God was. He knew it was the will of God that that giant should be slain. And so when he went out against Goliath, Goliath began to mock him and began to come toward him. He told him he was going to feed him the birds of the air. And David said, "You come at me with a sword and a spear." He said, "But I come at you in the name of the Lord." And see, when he said, "I come at you in the name of the Lord," what he said was, "I come representing the name of the Lord, his will." Yeah. He said, I'm coming. Because see, when you're in somebody's name, you're representing their will. You're representing their purpose. And so when David come out against him, he said, "I'm coming at you in the name of the Lord, the will of God." And he began to run toward that giant. And he took his slingshot, and he took the five smooth stones, and when he reached in and grabbed one of those stones out of there and put it in it, he wasn't just a good slingshotter. It wasn't because he was just really fast and because he could really do things good. It was because he was anointed of God, and he was setting out to do the will of God. And see, if you think about it, how small he must have looked to that giant out there. I mean, he's going up against a man that was, from his youth, was a warrior. And he was a monster. I mean, 10 foot tall. His armor weighed more than most men did. I think his armor weighed 150 pounds. I mean, and here David was, just a young man, never had really been into battle. All of his older brothers were making fun of him and telling him to go back home and keep the sheep. But David knew something that they didn't know. He knew the will of God. He knew it wasn't the will of God for this man to mock Israel. And when he began to run toward him, he said, "I come at you in the name of the Lord." And he took that stone and he began to sling it. And when he turned it loose, it hit him right in the forehead. And he fell to the ground. David took the sword, cut his head off. And the rest of the Philistines fled. But we see how when David set out to do the will of God, God got behind what David's doing. And did you know that when you set out to do the will of God, God will get behind what you're doing?
Amen.
When God shows you something's his will, if you'll kick your faith into gear and start going toward it, start running toward it, say, "God, I'm going to do it. I don't know how I'm going to win. I don't know how this is going to happen, but I know that you're on my side. And if you're on my side, then everything's going to be all right." And you know, I was thinking about something that was even bigger than that, was when Moses went in to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. Here were 6 million people over there. And God told Moses in the burning bush, he said, "I want you to go over there and deliver my people." And I'm sure he's thinking, how can just one man go into a country that's got a vast army with chariots and horses and all these things? How could I possibly do that? And God told him, he said, "Go." And he showed him these signs that would happen with him. But he told him that, "I want you to go deliver my people." And the Bible said, by faith, Moses went. By faith, Moses went on in to Egypt to deliver the children of Israel. He didn't know the whole plan beforehand. You know, sometimes we're afraid to step out until we know the whole picture.
Yeah.
Moses didn't know the whole plan. He just knew it was God's will for him to go, and he was obeying God as he went. And when he got there, you know, we see how God done all these things and began to speak to him, and how God brought Israel out of Egypt, 6 million people, carried them through the desert, rolled back the Red Sea. I'm talking about making a way where there seems to be no way.
Yeah.
Glory to God. And see, but it was the will of God. But see, do you think that the children of Israel would have been delivered if they would have been standing there saying, "Lord, your will be done"?
No.
Lord, your will be done. No, there had to be a man that rose up and said, I will go in the name of the Lord, and I will deliver the children of Israel. And he went in the name of the Lord, and they were delivered. The greatest deliverance has ever been. But you know what? It's the same thing can happen in these last days. All it takes is one man. One man delivered a nation. One man. Did you know one person could deliver the church? One person could cause a revival to break out in this county, in this country, that could turn the world upside down.
Amen.
If one person says, I believe it's the will of God for revival to come, I believe it's the will of God for people to be saved, to be healed, for demons to be cast out, I believe it's the will of God, and somebody sets out and says, I'm going to do it in the name of Jesus. I'm going. And when you start out, God will say, I'll go with you.
Amen.
God will be with you when you do His will. And I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. See, sometimes there's things you know God don't want you to do. And when that king said, bow down to this golden image, or you're going to be thrown in the fiery furnace. Well, see, they knew it wasn't the will of God for them to bow down.
Right.
And see, sometimes the devil will put you in a spot. And, you know, I always said that it's easier for me if I know if it's black and white, you know, if I know this is God and this is not God. But what's hard is when it's black and white and gray and you don't know which way to go, you know. But when it's just plain simple right and wrong, it's not really a choice. You know, you got to do the right thing. You know what faith is. And so the children of Israel were delivered by Moses because he did that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew that it wasn't the will of God for them to bow down to that golden image. And by faith, they refused to bow down, and it got them thrown in the fiery furnace. But see, the thing of it is, when you choose not to do something God tells you not to do, He's going to help you.
Yeah.
Just remember that.
Yeah.
Whenever there's something in your life that you're facing and you know you're not supposed to do it, but everybody's putting pressure on you to do it, and you know that that it's not the will of God, when you stand your ground, God's going to get behind you and help you in that situation. Yeah. And see, every day things comes our way, we might not realize it, but there's opportunities in our life that either to do the will of God or not to do the will of God, or to bow or not to bow. But when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow, they were thrown in the fiery furnace. And the Bible said the king looked in there and they heated the fire up seven times hotter than it had ever been. And when they looked in that fire, they saw, the king said, I thought we threw three men in there. And he said, I see four men, and the fourth man looks like the Son of God. Glory to God. But Jesus showed up in the fire with them because they were doing His will.
Right.
See, the age we're living in right now, the will of God is not that important anymore. It's really not. It's like people think that they can do what they want to do when they want to do it, and it doesn't matter. We're just saved by grace, and we're just going to heaven, and it don't really matter whether we obey God or not. But I want to tell you something. The church's purpose is to do the will of God. As a matter of fact, I believe that the church is supposed to be a representation of the will of God. I believe that when God looks at your life and people looks at our life, they should look at our life and say, that's the will of God.
Amen.
That's how somebody's supposed to live that's a child of God, because they are doing the will of God. If we don't do the will of God, if we do our own will and rebel against God, then we're not being an example to people for people to see and realize that they can overcome also. I mean, it don't matter what you go through. That's what I was talking about suffering a while ago. The thing of it is, when you go through suffering, the main purpose in your suffering is that you stay in the will of God. Because in your suffering, you don't know who it may help. Somebody may look at your life and say, man, they didn't turn against God, and they went through all kind of hell in their life. They went through everything, but they didn't turn. They stayed faithful to God. And people looks at them and says, hey, I want what they got.
Amen.
I want what they got, because they stood the test of time. They went through the fire and they did not bow. Glory to God. But the thing of it is, this is what I want you to see too. It's not that you can do it in your own strength. That's what faith taps into the resource of heaven.
Right.
When by faith you realize something's the will of God, and you say, this is what I'm going to do, this because I believe it's God's will and I believe God's going to help me, you tap into a supernatural force.
Yep.
Like, for instance, the Bible says sin shall not have dominion over you. And I know my brother's talking about his situation that happened here a while back. Well, see, I had something similar that happened to me when I first got saved. When I first came back to the Lord, I'd been backslid for 4 years, and I came back to the Lord, and I was going to church. And I started having a sin that kept trying to come back in my life. It just, I could feel it and sense it, just trying its best. And I started fighting against it in my own strength, and I was trying to overcome it, and I felt like it was overcoming me. And it felt like it was slowly starting to overcome me. And I remember I was in church over at Glory Hill that particular night. And I was reading in my Bible. And at that time, whenever I would see something in the Bible that said it was the will of God, I just believed it. And so I was reading that scripture, and it said, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are dead and your life is hid in Christ. And when I read that, all at once, this sin was trying to get dominion in my life. And all at once I said, sin shall not have dominion over me. And I said, glory to God, sin don't have no dominion over me. It's over with. And I want to tell you something, that night it was over with. That night I didn't have any more problem with that sin that was trying to creep back into my life. It was like it was over with. Once I realized the scripture said that sin shall not have dominion over you, that thing was defeated.
Man.
See, 90% of your battle is finding the will of God. Once you know the will of God, once you know it's God's will for you to overcome, then you the rest of the thing is only 10% of putting your faith into action. But knowing the will of God is the most important thing of all, because if you live by faith, faith has to know the will of God. See, you really can't have faith for something unless you know the will of God. See, if you don't know if it's God's will, it's hard to have faith. That's the reason when it comes to healing and stuff like that, people need to be taught so much about healing, and it needs to be driven in our minds and getting our hearts to the point that we have no doubt that healing is the will of God. See, because if you ever have doubt that it's God's will to heal, when you start to try to have faith, that doubt's going to rise up and say, you know, every time that I used to start believing God for healing in some sickness or something I was having, I start quoting the scripture and I believe in the scripture, and then I turn the radio on, listen to the preacher, and all at once a preacher would say, it's not always God's will to heal. Sometimes he does and sometimes he don't. And I said, dammit, I bet he's not going to do it this time.
Right.
You know? And it killed my faith, you know, and I just dropped.
Yep.
That's what happens to you. See, if you're not sure about the will of God. See, that's why, but on the other hand, I was going to this Bible school back when I first got saved, and one of our teachers had us to write all the scriptures on healing in the New Testament. We had to handwrite every one of them. So I had like 20 pages of notes of scriptures just on healing. And something happened to me when I was writing all them scriptures out. It was like it dropped down in my heart. And so I was going to work one day, and at that time, everybody in my family had the flu. They had sore throat, aching bones, back hurting, coughing, all kind of stuff like that. But I didn't have it. And I kept saying, by his stripes I'm healed. I'm not going to get sick. I'm not going to get sick. And my ex-father-in-law, he said, you're going to get it. You're going to get it. You're going to get sick. And I said, no, I'm not. And so I was going to work that morning. And I was driving down the road. And all at once, my throat started getting sore. My back started hurting. Started coughing. And then in my mind, it said, you're getting it now. But you know what? When I've been reading those scriptures and writing all those scriptures down about healing, all at once, I said, it's not God's will for me to be sick. It's God's will for me to be healed. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke this flu, and then I refuse to be sick. I'm not going to be sick. And I started, just faith just rose. I mean, it was like I could feel it in my bones. I could feel healing. I knew that healing was, it was God's will at that particular time. And within 1 hour, every symptom I had was gone. Didn't have no headaches, no backaches, nothing. I mean, it was completely gone. I never did get the flu. Everybody else got it, but I didn't get it. Why? Because I got convinced what the will of God was. See, if you're only 50% convinced, that's not good enough. See, if you're only not 80% convinced, it's not good enough. See, sometimes you can get healed on somebody else's faith. Sometimes you can come up and somebody can lay hands on you and they believe in God and the gift of healing kick in, and you might get healed and you might not really be exerting that much faith. You're just kind of submitting to somebody, letting them pray for you. But when it comes to you on your own, you got to know that you know that you know that it's the will of God for you to receive a healing. And you can receive it. Glory to God. And I remember one time, this back in 2004, that this lady that was coming to her was coming to my church, and me and my son mowed their grass and stuff for them. And their daughter got sick and went to the hospital, and I went to the hospital, and she had a reaction to the medicine, and her mother couldn't come up there, and I stayed in the hospital the whole night, stayed there with her. And so then the next day, I went to their house, and their mother and her sister, and they said, we're putting you in our will. And I said, okay, that sounds good to me. But I thought, well, if you do, you do. But, people say stuff like that. I didn't think they really would. But anyways, they said, no, we're going to put you in our will. And then a few years went by, and one of the sisters died. And then she said, go take me to court. I'm going to put you on our will. I'm going to have the will made out. I want you to be on it and some other people. And so she put me on the will. And me and my son kept mowing the grass and stuff for them. And then I had to go to convention. And every year when I went to convention in Mississippi, something would happen to try to hinder me from going. I mean, every single time, it was like somebody would go in the hospital, somebody would die, something would happen, and it would look like I had to stay, and I couldn't go. I got, one time my back went out on me, like 2 days before the time, but I went on anyways, and on the way there, I was healed on the way there. When I got there, my back wouldn't hurt me anymore. So then, I'm getting ready to go to convention, and this lady that put me in their will, she decided she didn't want me to go to the convention. And so she says, you don't need to go to that convention. You need to stay here because we might need y'all around here. I said, I got to go. It's the will of God. I mean, that was my whole point, was I knew that it was the will of God for me to go. Because every year, something tried to keep me from going. And so I knew it was the will of God. And so I said, no, I'm going. It's the will of God. And so then another week went by, and it was almost time to go. And then she said, you don't need to go. Just call and tell them you're not going. I said, no. And when it got down to the day before I was fixing to go, she said, you're not going. I said, yeah, I am. And she said, well, if you go to that convention, said, I'm going to tear that wheel up. And I said, well, that's fine with me. I said, whatever you got to do. I said, I got to do the will of God. And she said, when you drive out that road down there, she said, I'm going to tear this wheel up. I said, okay, that's fine with me. So I went on down the road, and I was driving out the driveway, and I was thinking, man, I feel so good. I said, I just lost $20,000, but I said, I feel great. And I went on to convention, and the whole time I was at convention, I felt so good. I felt better than I never, ever felt in convention. I kept thinking all the time, I thought, man, I just lost $20,000, but this feels great.
Yeah.
And so then I come back. When I come back, the lady called me and she wanted me to come to the hospital. She got sick while I was gone and had to go in the hospital. And she said, now when I die, she said, I want you to do this and this and this. And I said, well, I thought you tore the wheel up. She said, no, I didn't tear it up. She said, take me to the lawyer. I'm going to change it. She went and changed the will and ended up giving me 5 times what she was going to give me. And I ended up being blessed abundantly because I refused to not do the will of God. See, because there was pressure put on me. I mean, how do you know if you got $20,000 and looking you in the face and saying, if you go to that convention, you're losing $20,000. I mean, it's pressure on you at the time because I had never had anybody give me $20,000 at the time. But see, the thing of it is, when you know the will of God, you cannot back down. You got to make up your mind, I'm going to do the will of God, because how many knows you prosper when you do the will of God? You will prosper. God said in that Jeremiah 29, he said, I want to prosper you. He said, I have thoughts good and not evil, and to prosper you, to give you an expected end, and to have hope. The will of God will give you hope in the end. Daniel refused to quit praying. When the king told him, he said, you're gonna stop praying because there's a law now that you can't pray to no other God. But Daniel, he just kept on praying because he knew it was the will of God to pray. And how many of you know it's the will of God to pray?
Yeah.
He kept on praying. He wouldn't stop praying, but it got him thrown in the lion's den. But you know what? When he got thrown in the lion's den, God shut the lion's mouth.
Yep.
Why? Because he was doing the will of God.
Yep.
When you do the will of God, it armor. It literally gives you strength and it gives you armor on your life. But see, the thing of it is, how many knows that we talk about people back in the Old Testament, but did you know that we can do the same thing today?
Yeah.
Those prophets, all the prophets would do is tell them what the will of God was. You know, they knew the will of God. So they knew when miracles was fixing to happen, God would show them what to do. When he went to the widow woman and he said, go make me some bread, bring me some water. And he said, and that meal barrel won't run out. Well, see, he knew the will of God. He couldn't just be talking off the top of his head. He knew the will of God. And that widow woman, when she believed the will of God that this prophet had said to her, she did it. But you know what? If she had not done it, if she would have said, Lord, thy will be done. If it's your will for me to feed this prophet, if it's not, Lord, if it's your will for us to live, then we'll live. If it's not, then we won't. No, she had to do something. Faith has to do something. Faith has to step out and sow a seed. Sometimes God will tell you to sow a seed when you don't look like you've even got a seed to sow. But when you sow that seed, your seed is more precious when you ain't got none than it is when you got a whole lot. When you sow a seed that God's telling you to sow, especially when you know it's God's will. I mean, the worst thing you can do, I mean, if God tells you to give something and you know it's God telling you that, you better give it. Because if you don't, you'll wish you did. But if you give when God shows you that he wants you to give, how many knows tithing is the will of God?
Amen.
So that means when you're tithing, you're doing the will of God. God said, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing and there won't be room enough to receive it. And people say, well, I can't afford to tithe. Well, see, if you don't do the will of God, then the enemy's going to come in and rob from you, and your car's going to break down, your lawnmower's going to break down, you won't have enough money, that you'll get a ticket for speeding or whatever. You know, the enemy will rob from you. But when you do the will of God, the blessing of God will come on you. Glory to God. But tithing is the will of God. Giving is the will of God. The Bible says that it's the will of God to give thanks in all things. God wants us to be thankful, have a thankful heart, to be thanking and praising him all the time, in all situations, in all circumstances. No matter how bad something looks, God wants us to keep, it's the will of God for us to give thanks.
Yeah.
It's the will of God. How many knows it's the will of God for you to love everybody?
Yeah.
It's the will of God for you to show love. He said, love your neighbor as yourself and love God with all your heart and your mind and your soul. And so we know God's told us that's what his will is. So what happens when I'm tempted to be bitter and angry? I'm tempted to not do the will of God. See, the devil knows that if he can cause God's people to not do God's will, then he can have power over them. But he knows that if you are doing the will of God, you are dangerous. He knows that if you're somebody that has experience and you see that when you do the will of God, the blessing of God comes on your life and God gives you authority over the devil, when you are walking in his authority, because it's his will for you to cast out devils. It's his will for you to have authority over all the power of the enemy. Glory to God. But there again, where we make a mistake at sometimes is we try to do it in our own strength. And we think that we can fight the devil in our own strength. You can't do it. You've got to put on the whole armor of God. You got to do it in the Spirit. Glory to God. Glory to God. But he said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So that means that for me to do the will of God, I need to be full of the Holy Ghost. I need to be full of the Spirit of God in my life, because if I'm full of the Spirit of God, he makes you to know the will of God. The Bible said he would show you things to come. That means he'll show you what's going to happen if you do the right thing. It means he can show you what's going to be the end result if you obey God. When the prophet told that widow woman, most people think that he didn't really tell her what was going to happen, but he did. He told her, he said, if you'll make me one first, he said, this meal barrel won't run dry. See, he told her the end result of what's going to happen if you obey. And so when she obeyed, see, she got the end result. And see, when we obey God, we'll get the end result of obeying him. Most of you heard me tell a story when God told me to give my lawnmower away one time. I had this lawnmower, first ride lawnmower I'd ever had. And I was mowing my grass that day with it, John Deere. Mowing my yard, and I said, you know what? I love this lawnmower. This is the best lawnmower. I love this lawnmower. And I was just mowing the yard. I was so proud of that lawnmower. All at once, I heard the Lord speak to me. And he said, I want you to give this lawnmower away. And he told me who to give it to. And immediately, I started saying, this ain't God. I know this ain't God. Don't want my lawnmower. He knows how much I like it. This can't be God. And I just kept on mowing. And then all at once, I heard it again. Give the lawnmower away. And I just kept mowing, and I felt like it was God telling me that. But I started just closing my ears. I was like, no, 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 I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear it. I'm not going to give my lawnmower away. You know, and I just refused to give it away. And I'm talking about, I don't know if it was that day or the next day, I was mowing, and my mowing deck locked up. The blades all just locked up, the bearings locked up in them, just out of the blue. So I said, this is a good lawnmower, so I'm going to fix these bearings. So I went and got new bearings and put in them, cost me about $100. Fixed it, said, now then I got a good lawnmower. So I started mowing, and I reached down to put it in gear. And when I did, something went crazy, and it was like it went, wah! And it broke the gear in the transmission. It just broke a gear off in it. And I said, boy, I'm done for now. This thing's over with. And I said, no, it's a good lawnmower, so I'm going to find another rear end and put in this thing. So I went and found a rear end and put another rear end in it and everything. And I said, now I've got a good lawnmower. I've got a good mowing deck and good rear end and all this stuff. And I started mowing, and the motor blew up. This is the honest truth. The motor locked up in the lawnmower. And I said, this has been a good lawnmower. It's starting to get a little ridiculous now. And so I found a guy that had a motor, and I bought a motor from this guy and put on it. And the motor, after I put another motor on it, it never did mow like it did before. And so I said, Lord, I'll give this thing away now. But how many knows it was too late? I gave it away and gave the money to the church, but it wasn't the same. It was because I didn't obey the voice of God when he told me to. See, he knew what was going to happen. But see, I think if I would have gave it away, I probably would have been driving a new John Deere. God would have probably gotten something way better. But see, I was afraid to obey God. See, sometimes we're afraid to step out and do what God's telling us to do. But if you do it by faith and you do what God's telling you to do, that's when you see God do the greatest miracles. But knowing the will of God is crucial in every situation in our life. Glory to God. And but see, when you're facing something, if you're facing some sickness in your life, what you need to do is you need to get some healing scriptures. You need to get some healing tapes, and you need to start hearing something over and over that tells you the will of God. This is the will of God. This is the will of God. And once it gets in your spirit, then you're ready to fight. Yep. Then you're ready to lay hold on it, and you can say, Lord, by your stripes, I am healed. Yeah. And I'm going to be healed. I'm going to walk out of this. This thing, this cancer is not going to stay here. It's going to die in the name of Jesus. How many believes that?
Yeah.
Glory to God. Knowing the will of God is very important. And you know something else? He said it's the will of God for you to be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yep.
So if we refuse to get filled with the Holy Ghost, we're disobeying God. Because He wants Him to be the one that leads us and guides us and not our own self.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Let's bow our heads tonight.